Ready to play up? Bet with playup.com.au now. Gamble responsibly.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's the Sydney radio show that stood the test of time. Now,
absolutely brilliant.
Into its third decade, rocking Saturday mornings on Triple M.
Now, can't stop. Ready now.
Listen to the crowd roar.
Famous for big name hosts you know and love.
Would you put your hands together?
Voices of sport.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
The famous Triple M heritage alive.
And here we go.
And keeping the dream alive. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
So welcome back.
Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor.
Yeah, the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Wendell, Jude and Gus, all thanks to our mates at playup.com.au, your best bet on racing and sport. Round 6 of the NRL, it sounds like this.
Last tackle, Brandon Smith.
Luai, right foot step, left foot step again. Wow. Goes down the middle, throws the pass to Cleary, Cleary goes over. And wow, well, the Panthers, say hold on.
And now it goes to Green on the last. He gets a kick in, it goes backwards. And who's there? Your man, Brody Jones on the last. Gets out of one, gets it back to Frizzell. Frizzell gets it to Ponga.
Ponga's
going to score.
How good was that? The rugby league, the Panthers 20, the Broncos 12, the Knights 26, the Sharks 22, the Storm got over the Roosters 20 points to 4. And then the AFL, there's been a couple of cracking games as well. Richmond snapping back after a couple of losses. They defeated St Kilda by 86 points, and the West Coast just too good for Collingwood last night by 27 points. Jude, how are you, brother? How much you enjoyed the footy so far?
Mate, footy's been great. Obviously, Ponga was sensational. You know, headlined as the flu game almost. He's been crook the last couple of days, and just to have that sort of impact. You know, I thought the Roosters disappointing, another set of injuries, which is frustrating, I know, Gussie. Yeah. So, but yeah, Harry Grant, he was just sensational, wasn't he, Del?
Oh, he was very good, mate. Roosters, you know, I know they're down on troops, but Roosters showed, you know, why they're still a premiership contender. But Melbourne, they just couldn't get it right in the first half, and in that second half, it all clicked. So, mate, you mean Victor Radley, mate, he saved a couple of tries in the first half.
He did, but you could probably say it's probably his poorest half of football that he's had with the ball and his discipline. But that obviously coming, not playing that much, and his defence is a little bit out at times and stuff. But I just felt last night that the Roosters are probably where we think they are, which is behind South, the Panthers and Storm. They're in that next run with the Raiders and Parramatta.
But even like Newcastle, you know, Kalen Ponga, he's the tonic they needed, as it says in the paper today. But Brody Jones, for me, he's the accidental hero, mate. Like, he saved a couple of tries, and, you know, just the way that he played, he's a little nugget. He's just stocky, local lad. Fast, and he just, you know, it's what it's all about there.
Sure is. We're going to talk about the footy that's coming up this afternoon as well, with Manly getting Tommy T back. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But coming up next, we're going to talk to you, Shark fans, and in fact, any fans of the NRL. Give us a call on 133353. The John Morris saga. Walking in thinking he's going to get an extension and walking out brutally with his job gone. And who would want to be a coach? Exactly right. Give us a call on 133353 around just that whole situation. We'd love to hear from you. More on the Dead Set Legends after this.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper!
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, the Dead Set Legends here on
another
Triple
one
M.
Dust.
Another one bites the another dust. Exactly right.
Dust.
And that song we didn't put in particular, but it is about John Morris. We're about to talk about it now. The Sharks coach who walked into a meeting thinking everything was sweet, ended up walking out, and he didn't have a job at all. Let's listen to Danny Widler on Channel 9 News talking to John Morris after the announcement.
That meeting you had, I want to make it very clear. You came out of it positive, correct?
Well, yeah, I think I used the words to you, Danny, was encouraging. So, you know, the door was left open.
When you heard Craig Fitzgibbon was coach, did you want to keep on coaching?
Of course I would. You know, Danny, I'm certainly not a quitter. I wasn't going to quit on this playing group. And I said as such to the boys, you know, Monday morning, that I'm here for the long haul.
John, do you know why you were sacked?
It's not too clear with me at the moment, but...
Did you ask?
Yeah, I asked questions around it, but I felt that the decision was made.
You couldn't attract players to the club, a criticism of you.
Yeah, I think that's an unfair criticism, Danny. We didn't have a salary cap to go out into the market, simple as that.
Please give us a call, Sharks fan or any NRL fan. When you think about that and the sacking and how brutal it was, what do you think about that situation? And the best callers today will get a double ringside pass to Gallen, taking on Lucas Big Daddy Brown in Wollongong on Wednesday night. The prize also includes overnight accommodation, so an opportunity for you to go along to that fight. Del.
Yeah, boys.
Brutal.
It's brutal. Like, I think what there was five or six coaches sacked last year, but John Morris, I think I said this year, I think you asked me the question, what would save John Morris's job? I said he needs to make the top four, but he didn't get an opportunity to do that. But what I've learned a little bit is that, because they can't beat top four sides, they haven't beaten too many sides in the top eight, but still what he's got out of that current roster with the salary cap, you know, issues that he's had. And like,
he was given a shit sandwiches, really.
He was. And to make the finals, and I think someone said, oh, but they just stumbled in the finals. I don't care. You still made the finals. Like, they still made the finals.
Plenty of other sides didn't.
And he's bringing those young players through. You know, I know Bronson Cherry. I know that's, you know, he's suspended. But I remember that video from when he gave him opportunity. But there's other young players that he's brought in. Mulatalo and those guys. Mate, the next couple of years, mate, with a salary cap that he can go out there and spend, I think they're going to have $2.5-3 million next year, probably more, you know. I think because Fifita's on the way out, Sean Johnson's contract's up. But just, you know what, I played against John Morris, and as a player, he played over 300 games, and the bloke's got integrity. The way that he was treated absolutely stinks. I'm not sure what the board said to him on that Monday, but to walk out of that door and still think there's an opportunity there for you, and then to find out, you know, within the next 24 hours that, see you later. And he still wanted to coach a team, which I respect even more. I just thought he must have just thrown all the toys out of the thing.
Yeah.
And thought, you know, well, I'm walking away.
So many blokes still to come back. Sean Johnson, yeah. Josh Dugan, Wade Graham as well, those sort of things. So, I mean, riddled by injuries, tough list.
And the way and they played last night, look,
it's a results-driven game, but they've treated him terribly, haven't
they? And you can tell what the players were shattered for him. I listened to Sean Johnson last week, or the week before, talk about him on Fox. And just even the way the Sharks played last night, that was respect also. I know that they've got a new coach here, Josh Hanno, you know, who's, well, they call him the Night Watchman or something.
Yeah, he's the Night Watchman. We did the same job with North Queensland last year.
That's right,
he?
Paul Green. And, I respect the way Cronulla's gone about it. The players are going about their business, but, geez, that board, look, don't get me wrong. I reckon they've got a good assistant coach in Craig Fitzgibbons, but we don't know if he can coach. I know that everyone says he's good, but you don't know who's going to be a good NRL coach until he gets there. But I've got no doubt he's got the qualities, but I still back to John Morris. That's so wrong on so many levels.
When you hear this stuff about them feeding stories out to the media just to create enough
to leak
cloudiness to say this is our reasoning, but they didn't give him a true reason himself. You know, that's the frustrating thing. And I think when he says he's walked out of that meeting, think that there was a chance, and then they've signed Fitzgibbons 24 hours later.
Your thoughts, Gus?
Well, I think Fitz is going to be one of those guys that could be the next young coach that's really, really good. And they've obviously seen that. And Robbo, obviously, they've been paying him as a head coach for years
have
now.
Have they really?
Because they really want him to stick around. But eventually you've got to let the young bloke go and do his own thing. But look, at the end of the day, I know Fitzy reasonably well. I think he'll do an amazing job. They've obviously looked at Morris and said, we've had a couple of years. You're doing an okay job, but not quite good enough. And it's a sad one, but the way that they treated him was really, really
poor. And even the stuff that was leaked to Paul Kent, I know on Thursday, I think Dan Ginnane spoke about it. Mate, there was some details there about not being able to attract players and all that. And, mate, I just think you don't need to do that crap. John Morris has represented that club in the last 10 years with the utmost respect and decency. And I don't watch too much of the interviews, but the way that he spoke with Danny Wadley, you can just tell he was still shattered, you know?
Absolutely. Sharks fans, are you happy with the club's decision? Give us a call on 1-333-53. Paul Gallen takes on Lucas Brown in a heavyweight slugfest this Wednesday night in Wollongong. Tickets at tickertech.com.au. Your chance to win double ringside pass plus accommodations. You can have a few beers and make it a night down there in Wollongong for the best callers. Give us a call right now and give us your thoughts on what happened to John Morris.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M. Dead. Set. Legends.
Yeah, the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolton and Gus Wallen. We do it all thanks to our mates at playup.com.au, your best bet on racing and sport. And please be part of the conversation anytime on 1-333-53. And certainly Sharks fans are fired right up. Our favourite caller today will win a double ringside pass to Gallen, taking on Lucas Big Daddy Brown in Wollongong on Wednesday night. And the prize is, we're all talking about it in here through the song.
Looks damn good.
Once you've added the accommodation.
Yeah.
That is
the key. You wouldn't go to Wollongong anyway. It's the best It's the best hidden secret.
I'm not saying it isn't.
No, you're trying to say that, mate.
Let's say it's 11:30 on a Wednesday night and you will need to get back to Sydney.
Yeah.
However, you've got accommodation just across the road.
Yep.
That's the kicker.
Gotcha.
All right.
I gotcha.
Peter from Maroubra, give us a call. give us your thoughts, sorry, mate, on John Morris getting sacked. Just, I think, without respect.
G'day, boys. It's business, mate. It's he had his job there for 2 years. The 2 years is up. End of this year, the board hired another coach. Mate, what's there to whinge about? We're all hearing about John Morris, how he's unfairly treated and everything else. The board has said nothing. The board is sitting there not doing their dirty laundry out in public. They're copying more criticism. I'm not a fan of the board anyway, to be honest with you. But it's business. I don't understand how the whole world's caving in about John Morris, who's a good bloke, has been sacked. He hasn't been sacked. His tenure is up. So, mate, move on. Move on. Go get another job. We're bringing in another bloke. It could win. It could fail. You know, everyone's just putting crap on the on the board.
Okay, but also, he said that he wanted to coach for the rest of the year, so the board must feel a bit bad. They're saying, well, mate, you know what? I'm still going to pay you out, but it's time to leave. Like, how's that fair?
How do we know they haven't paid him out? Well, they're not going to pay him out.
But they are going to pay him out because that's why he's pushed away. That's why they said, look, you go now. It's probably better for you to go now than later because you'll get his full pay for the year.
Well, wouldn't that be the case? I mean, you wouldn't want someone walking around kicking stones as a head coach, would you?
No, but he's emotional. But he still wanted to coach.
He was invested still. He was happy to coach.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Yeah. Appreciate it. What about Tony from the Shire? I think Dan in Como, beautiful Como. G'day, Tone.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How you doing?
Good. What do you reckon?
Mate, I reckon dirty as. I'm dirty on Cronulla, and I'm a Cronulla supporter, mate. He jumped in, helped out with his one hand tied behind his back, then the no salary cap, two hands behind his back. It'll be like Gallen going into the fight this weekend, both hands tied behind his back, and saying, box. You'd get the shit beaten out of him.
No, fair enough. Sorry. That's okay, Tony. Let's go to Adrian in Matraville. G'day, Adrian.
G'day, boys. All right, I'm coming in off a long run here.
I love it.
I think I'm sure Josh Hannay is a fantastic coach, and all reports about Craig Fitzgibbon are absolutely amazing. But here's the story on the rest of the Sharks season. It's going to be an absolute nightmare. Case in point, last night's game. You know, the game's on the line. The Sharks are right in it. Then that last little 5-10 minutes. You know, where they can't. There's no energy. Like, why would they put in the effort when their coach has just been punted? Someone who has blooded so many of these young players there. You know, they're putting their heart and soul in for the coach, and the coach is gone. So why would they? They're in for a shocking rest of the season because this is just going to linger over them for the rest of the year.
Thank you, Adrian. What about Damon in Cronulla? What are your thoughts, Damo?
G'day, boys. I just thought, I'm not a Cronulla fan, but as a fan of the game, I just thought it was handled really poorly. Like, he came into a club that, you know, the salary cap scandals, they lost Bronson Cherry to the drug scandals. Like, it wasn't like they were coming in to, you know, an established Storm or Roosters, and he's done, you know, the best he could. Like, at least he should deserve to finish on his own terms, even if Craig Fitzgibbon is their future.
Yeah, no, good call, Damo. So Damo, Adrian, Tony and Peter, they're the calls we could get to.
I loved how fired up Peter was. Who do you want to give it to?
Give the prize to? Because Paul Gallen takes on Lucas Brown in a heavyweight slugfest this Wednesday night in Wollongong. Tickets at Ticketek, ticketmaster.com.au.
Let's go to Damon from Cronulla.
Damon and Cronulla, you've got the tickets, big fella, and also the accommodation. Have a wonderful time.
I'll see you there, mate.
Coming up
with you.
Next on the Dead Set Legends, we've got the footy chat. We're going to talk about the games from Thursday and last night.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper!
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Wendell, Jude and Gus. And it's all thanks to our mates at playup.com.au, your best bet on racing and sport. And don't forget to subscribe to the Dead Set Legends podcast on the Triple M app to listen anytime at triplem.com.au. The NRL round 6 so far. Let's go through the games, Dill. Panthers 20 defeated your Broncos 12. A much better performance by the Broncos.
Yeah, look, it certainly was. For me, look, I just think the Panthers, the Broncos actually took it to them. Like,
good defense.
The Broncos started with intensity. Matt Lodge was outstanding for the first 15, 20 minutes. He set that standard. Davida Pangai Jr. went with him. And in the halves, they were a lot more controlled with what they were doing.
Simple game plan, though, wasn't it? We're bigger than you. We're going
to
run over
you. Simple. You have to go through them and turn to go around them, which is what they were trying to do. And they were their defence was really aggressive. They met him head on. You know, Kikau didn't make too many metres, even though it didn't look like he was interested for the first start of the
game. He switched off.
A little bit cruise control. But this is what happens. Mate, the Panthers are the hunted now. Every week, and people were saying, you know, they carried on a bit like, you know, mate, I don't care. Look, at the end of the day, mate, back yourself. Like, when you score tries in that, I used to love celebrating. I used to love being lippy. I got no problems with what they're doing. But sometimes that can change your psyche too as a team. Because, mate, we had Kikau after the show, and he admitted that they get disappointed hearing that, you know, what all the fans and that are saying about them, the way they play.
Well, you loved us last year, but now you don't love us, and we're doing the same thing again.
Yeah.
But I think they are more like mug layers this year than they were last
year. That's not a bad thing, mate. It's we're in the entertainment business, mate. You're not trying to make friends. You're trying to win a grand final. They
sure.
fell at the final hurdle. So whatever works for them in turn to get there.
We've spoken about the halves combination, obviously.
Yep.
Luai and Cleary. The last couple of plays, Cleary's effort, but he's always there with Luai just controlling it as well.
Is he the best at the 1%ers in the game at the moment, Cleary?
Yeah, that's why I think Cleary's the best halfback, because even when the game is not going their way, I think he kicked the 40-20 there at one stage and just turns the momentum. But even, you know, even when he slots that field goal, but even to be there for that try, like Luai, there was nothing doing. He's going bang left, and boom. And then he just knew he was going to be there.
He was there.
The sixth sense.
Yeah.
So they have the combination. And I've got to tell you something else, Kevvy Walters. If you're going to sign another player, sign Kurt Capewell. Because he's what the Broncos need.
Good player. What about
the Cowboys are interested in him too.
What about the Knights? They got over the Sharks, 26 points to 22, but the Sharkies were winning that match into the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, well, it was, mate, once again...
Great game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the Sharks went there. They lost the last couple at home, Newcastle. They had some players back, you know. Kurt Mann was back there. Bradman Best back in the centres.
Ponga better with the run too.
Ponga was good, but what Ponga gives you, he gives you confidence in through your team. Not just his attack, but his defence. I think he had a stomach bug or something in the second half.
Mate,
but he catches bombs.
He vomited a couple of times.
He did, but then he finds the magic players. But I was impressed by Brody Jones. I didn't know too much about the kid, and he saved a couple of tries. The Sharks, when the Sharks scored at the end, I thought, mate, they've got home here. They've done it.
Yeah.
But there was a pass there. There was Brody Jones, I think, to Tyson Frizzell. And Frizzell throws it inside. A Hail Mary.
Yeah, could have gone anywhere.
Kalyn Ponga. That's why you pay him the big money, because, you know, he's a clutch player. And even when he scored, I just love, when you talk about the emotion and what you play with, you look at the way that Kalyn Ponga plays. And even at the end, he's hitting the ground like they needed that win.
Yeah.
And you could tell... Newcastle, as a club in general, both clubs needed that win, but I was really impressed with the way that Newcastle found something.
Ponga's going to draw on that sort of game. The ability to get yourself up when you're not feeling the best and play that sort of standard, it's incredible, isn't it? Like, it's the mindset.
Well, you know, we talked about that Michael Jordan thing in The Last Dance. That's at the moment. I'm thinking, when Ponga was going back at half, I'm going, wait, where's he going? Someone said he had to go and find a toilet or whatever, mate. But he doesn't care. But it shows he's showing his teammates, hey, boys, mate, I want to be here. He could have easily sort of gone, look, I'm not right. But that's when that mentally tough person.
We used to always talk to players, even if they're training and they're feeling sick. It's like, don't pull out. Like, this is what if it's a grand final day and you wake up and feeling crook?
Yeah.
How are you going to get yourself right for this game?
Like, yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any other footy on last night. I think they're the Broncos.
The Roosters. Your Roosters went down to Melbourne.
It was the last play of the game that the Roosters scored.
Last scorer wins.
It doesn't happen. But look, mate, once again, mate, what we're showing here, defence can win matches. I know we spoke a little bit about it before. Victor Radley, a couple opportunities in the second and the first half, a very mixed game by Victor. But can I just say, what I like about Victor Radley too is when he messes up, he tries to make up for it. So you know what you do? You target the biggest man on the field. The shot that he put in Nelson,
yeah,
and he just lost the ball. But look, there's like young Walker, you know, he showed me a lot. But then one, Pappenhausen, Tedesco show. Mate, stop trying to compare Tedesco and Pappenhausen. They're both class players. They've both been a lot. Mm. And I just love their friendly rivalry. You know, it's very respectful.
Mm.
Harry Grant, the other Smith, Brandon Smith.
All right, mate, that's enough. Coming up next, we chat with Greg Russ on all things motorsport from Bendix Brake.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper!
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M, Dead Set Legends.
This is the Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolton and Gus Wallen. And we do it all thanks to our mates at playup.com.au, your best bet on racing and sport. Now, time to talk to this man.
Rusty's Motorsport Update for Bendix. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Yeah, we certainly have confidence talking to this man. Everything to do with motorsport is from Rusty's Garage Podcast. Greg Russ, Scott McLaughlin, mate. dominated the Supercar Championship in recent years. This weekend, he launches into his first full season of IndyCars. It's a huge change of scenery and also, obviously, expectations. What's realistic for him?
Boys, good morning. Yeah, the Alabama tomorrow morning for round one. I mean, really, he made his IndyCar debut after Bathurst last year, but this prep league, Gus, is his rookie year, and he's immersed himself since he left Australia late last year. He's benchmarked himself against a few very good drivers here in Australia, but now that gene pool is bigger. He's up against some elite athletes, as you know. They play hardball there. He'll have his down days, but I reckon he's going to really impress along the way here too, guys. So realistically for me, he could challenge the podiums in this first year, but I think it's the way he'll apply himself in 2021 and set himself up for the years to come.
Rusty, the Supercars are in Tasmania this weekend, home turf of the former champion Marcus Ambrose. What's the two-time champion going to be like on the microphone?
You know, it's just 3 degrees there this morning.
Ooh, so, chilly.
So, practice one coming up at about 11:20 local time. He's going to offer some insightful stuff in between the track activity with Mark Larkham, the ace pit reporter that they've got. Marcus, I spent a bit of time with recently in a race team that he's been working in, and he's a straight shooter, guys. He's got great respect and rapport with a number of the teams there in the lane. As you know, he went off and did 10 years in NASCAR. I reckon he'll be really good in that role there this weekend. Cool addition.
Hey, Rusty, F1 is in Italy for the round two. The last time our man Dan Ricciardo was at the track, he scored a podium finish. What's the chances of a repeat? Practice overnight, didn't look good, mate.
Yeah, Wendell, you're right. Bit of a worry. So top 10 in session one, 18th in practice two. He could have been 11th had he not exceeded what's called the track limits. But it's super important to qualify up the front there. And it seems like that is their Achilles heel with the McLaren at the moment. Good race car, but maybe not so strong just yet in qualifying. They've got to unlock that. So podium last time. But really, the focal point for Dan and for McLaren is this qualifying session tonight. He's got to qualify up front.
I tell you what, after watching that show you told me to watch on Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah, like, I'm like, has he made the right choice? Leave Renault to go to McLaren, and now all these other races that I couldn't care about, like at the Alphas at the back of the track against other... It's like, it's a whole different competition at the back of the track as much as at the front.
Right. And what about Mercedes? Yeah. Like, sorry, yeah.
Oh, well, they're just... Mercedes are just too good, right?
Well, I mean, they've got all the best people and, you know, and a massive budget as well. But Red Bull are getting there this year, guys. So I think we're going to be in for a closer battle. But we've had that over time, haven't we, where teams go through, in all sorts of sport, they go through periods of dominance, and we've got that at the moment with Mercedes. I just think, you know, Red Bull are closer this year to being able to challenge them and maybe even knock them off. So we'll see.
Rusty, can I ask, who's your favourite driver? It doesn't have to be Daniel Ricciardo, but who's your favourite F1 driver, please? No,
over time, sadly, gone to God now, but for me, it's Ayrton Senna, guys.
Oh,
he was just amazingly good as a human being and as an athlete, just so dedicated and committed.
Him and Prost together. Prost was in chatting away with the Renault guys overnight on that Netflix show, and I'm like, how good he used to be with the Marlboro car and all smoking all the time. Yeah. Back in the good days, eh?
I love it. Yeah. Who was the English bloke that he went head-to-head with?
You're thinking of James Hunt versus...
That's it, James Hunt,
And the movie starred Chris Hemsworth. It's called Rush.
Yeah. Have you seen it? Oh, I love it. Oh, it's such a sexy show.
Look,
I love
thanks,
it.
Greg. Have a fantastic weekend, mate. We really appreciate it. All thanks to Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence. Coming up next, the hot topic across all sport, concussion.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M. Dead. Set. Legends.
Hey, Del, you see that red light? When that's on, that means we're live.
I love going live. That's all I know. I know how to go live. Thank you.
The Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M. Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolton and Gus Walland, all thanks to our mates at playup.com.au, your best bet on racing and sport. I'm going to play some audio here in a second, boys. It's Nick Riewoldt on AFL 360 talking about Chelsea Randall missing the AFLW Grand Final. And the fact that he's so determined around concussion protocols that he's going to go to the Supreme Court. Have a listen.
So this rule's brought in, right? And we all thought, oh, imagine if a player misses a grand final because they've got to wait 12 days to play. So we get an example of it in the first possible situation, the AFLW grand final. If I was in the same situation coming imagine September this year and still playing in your 30s.
Captain,
all of those things. I'm taking it as far as I can take it.
To where?
To Supreme Court. I'm going for an injunction.
He's going for an injunction, if he was the case, to get himself to
play.
So
it's on the back of the new rules, which is you have to sit out for 12 days. So Chelsea Randle sits out for the grand final. And I can understand that old school mentality of you just get yourself out there. And I've been in that situation where you sort of don't even look at your physios or anything like that if you feel like you're seeing stars and things like that. But it is a new age now, and we've got to respect what's coming out of some of the doctors and some of the research that's coming in. There's past players in really bad state, isn't there, Del? I mean, in terms of just severe concussions and the potential long-term effects. And I know I'm in the gun. I had 6 or 7 major concussions that I had to play through, and I sort of lived in, you know, been through that process. So it's the hottest topic across all major, you know, physical sport.
So you can understand it, even though it's a tough one for her to miss this grand final today in front of a full house in Adelaide, and she's the captain, and you know, it's a huge moment for her.
Huge moment for her, and taking that, like, she's actually had to, you know, selflessly hand over the captaincy and sit out of the game, and she would love nothing more to play in that grand final. I'm of the belief that the AFL actually have a week off prior to the finals beginning. It should be shuffled after the preliminary final, so then you've got that opportunity to get everyone fresh, have a bigger build up to a grand final. So
and she could have had that 12 days if that was the case.
Exactly.
What about you, Del? I mean, you play the toughest game on the planet in rugby league. We know players that have played with you and older than you that are in the gun right now when it comes to concussion.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, when you see some of the players that have gone before me, and even some of the players that, you know, the players that I've sort of played with in rugby league and rugby union, hear them talk about, you know, their head knocks and, you know, starting to forget things and dementia's coming into it now. Like, it's a concern. But at the moment, I understand from her point of view, like, she just wants to play. And I understand what Nick Riebold's saying. Sometimes you've got to protect athletes from themselves, I think. And I just think, you know, Jude, like yourself, mate, you know, you need to be protected for your own good, and this is going to set a standard going into the future.
Right. We saw Lachlan Lewis, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
The Bulldogs.
Well, they got fined $20,000, didn't they?
$20,000.
Yeah, but they're going to fight it.
Well, they're going to fight it. How they're going to fight it,
yeah.
I just can't imagine why they think they could fight that. That was the most obvious thing in the world.
Yeah.
He got knocked out. They let him play on for a couple of plays, and then they took him off. Did the wrong thing.
What do you think about Munster and Radley? Obviously, Munster stayed down for a little bit and then got back up.
Well, for me, last night, there was a couple of headshots on the Roosters. They got up and played the ball, then got some treatment. Yeah. Whereas every time the Storm were hitting the head, and that happens, they stood down, got exactly what they wanted, i.e. penalties or a sin bin, and then got straight back up again. It was pretty obvious, especially the Munster one. Walked off for 30 seconds, grabbed the medical thing, threw it at the bloke and ran back on again. Meanwhile, Radley's in the bin for 10. It's an absolute joke.
Mate, you sound like you're a bitter Roosters fan, mate. Like.
Absolute joke. Yeah, it was last night. Jerome Hughes as well goes down, looks up, bit of a wink-wink, thank you very much, gets what he wants and moves on. Teddy got hit in the head a little bit later, gets up, plays the ball, then calls the trainer on.
I'll give you
some people play it a little tougher than others.
Tip. Just don't hit people in the head and you'll be right, okay?
It's tough.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper!
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M. Dead. Set. Legends.
Yeah, how good is Pearl Jam? The Dead Set Legends on Sydney's 104.9. Triple M, Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolton and Gus Wall. And we do it thanks to our mates at playup.com.au, your best bet on racing and sport. It's the derby today, the AFL derby, the Giants and the Swannies at the SCG. How many games did you play at the SCG, Jude?
Oh, a heap. It's one of my favourite grounds. It's the hallowed turf. I absolutely love the SCG.
How many? How many games?
Roughly.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess.
You played 325.
130 games or something.
150.
11 a year, pretty much. So
who do you think's played the most there out of the Swans?
It'd be Goodsy, by my.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Goodsy. Yeah. Wouldn't it be good to get Goodsy on the show one day?
When are we getting him on the show?
Mate, when you guys can lift your game a bit, I'll get Goodsy on.
Boy, promises. Yeah.
I brought you Jackman. You could bring Goodsy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mate, stop dropping names.
Anyway, you? I'd like to talk about the day that I played on the SCG.
What?
Here we go.
I played twice. Played cricket once. Got a 50-odd not out. It's not a big deal. Don't like talking about it. But I've also played in the red kite game.
One of the great
celebrity
games.
One of the great games before the Swannies in Fremantle. It was like a 2:30 or 3 o'clock kickoff. So we were on there just before the game. 8-minute halves, I think it was. Anyway, It was one of the magical moments because there must have been 30,000 people in the ground. And at one stage, Dr. Chris Brown, the Bondi vet, and he does the, honestly, get me out of here now.
He's a sexy guy.
He is a sexy guy. And he and I had known each other really quite a bit. He was on the right flank over by the
O'Reilly stand.
And I was the only bloke in the 50. I was the only, because I had lost my marker or tag or whatever you call it in AFL, who was actually the Yellow Express Post mascot. I'd lost him in a bit of a tussle and dropped him off. I then ran into the 50. Chris Brown goes for goal himself and shanks it into the Bradman stand, and I'm there all by myself, and I gave him a spray he's never heard before.
Del, you should see how serious everyone takes it. Guys like Adam Spencer and those.
He was my captain. He was full on.
They wind themselves up for it. Like,
this is our moment.
No, no, it's your moment, but there's Humphrey B. Bear is playing as well, and I remember Humphrey, this guy, this poor guy's in the Humphrey suit. He can hardly see out of it. He's standing there sort of like going, how do I move around? I don't want to run into anyone. I can't see. And then someone is heckling him. This young kid's yelling out going, make a lead, Humphrey, and he's going, I can't do anything.
Are you ready to play up? Bet with playup.com.au now. Gamble responsibly.